Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have been so gracious to send us your Holy Spirit that we might preach to the world, that we would be given the power that only the Spirit can give to be the people you've created us to be. It is sad, Lord, that so many refuse this gift. So many toss it away as mere rubbish. Help us never to take that stand. Instead, help us to show everyone the light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've said today, we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. Now, that's the 50th day after Passover, the day that the church, according to many, was born. It's also a Jewish feast day called the Feast of Weeks, or Feast of Harvest. And it was on this day that God sent his Holy Spirit into the world to usher in a new covenant with his people by pouring out his Spirit first on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered together in Jerusalem. On this day, God sent his Holy Spirit in glory and in fire to guide, to comfort his people, and to inspire them in much the same way he inspires us today. Martin Luther said of the Spirit, "The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal through the gospel what God and glorious things God has done for us through Christ, namely, that he has redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil's power, has taken us into his grace and protection, and has given himself utterly and entirely for us." So today marks a great and glorious day in the church, and the Spirit is ready to move. The question is, are you ready to be inspired by a blaze of glory? Amen? That didn't sound very inspiring. If not, you're not alone. You're Lutheran, right? You know, it seems today that the average Christian gets bogged down sometime after Easter. They go through the Christmas holiday and they get to Easter pretty excited. But the excitement then fades and we seem stuck somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. They've been to Calvary to receive their forgiveness, but they've stopped somewhere short of Pentecost to get their power. At Christmas, we're reminded of the importance of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means God with us. At Easter, our thoughts take us to Calvary, God for us. And now we find ourselves at Pentecost, carrying the moniker of God in us. You're not alone, people of Pop. You have been called to the work that will go on until the end of time. The Holy Spirit carries on his work, and he does it without ceasing. He does not tire until the very last day that you have been placed in his service. As believers, we are to be conduits for that work because he's yet to gather in all the members of Christendom. Some people you think might not ever get there, and offer forgiveness to all who will receive it, all who are willing. There is no Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit, and he resides in us. Yet many, if not most Christians, still have no idea what or who the Holy Spirit really is. We tried to cover it this last few weeks, but he's still a mystery, isn't he, somehow? Many Christians today are like the Ephesian believers that was spoken of in Acts 19. And he, Paul, said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Still, many don't yet understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand his role because they've not let the Holy Spirit move them to greater things. We have become fat and lazy in the church. We hold an infinite amount of power under God, but we're afraid to use it. We become satisfied with little when God is promising us much. We become effective at resisting the blessings by becoming satisfied with good enough. But let me tell you, try as we might, we cannot weaken the flame of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no Pentecost substitutes that will allow us to ignore this calling that each one of us have been given. Anything we might try on our own could never reach the fire of what the Holy Spirit can do within us if we're willing. Instead, we have to be willing to trust that God sent His Holy Spirit for a very good reason. The real flame is the Holy Spirit that lives, that abides in each one of us as believers. The average believer is so afraid of taking that next step of faith that they never bother to even try. We must use our spiritual gifts so that we might benefit from them before God does. We forget why these gifts were given to us in the first place. You know, I heard it once said that we're so afraid of the excesses of our faith that we have become very good at giving excuses for our faith. We have allowed the devil to scare us into a dark corner where our gifts have little effect. So today, excuse me, as I become a man, today I want to talk to you about Pentecost. Now, I'm not talking about Pentecostalism, not some special belief that only a few people have. But Pentecost, Christ in us, all of us, you and me, no matter the situations we face in life, no matter who we are in life, no matter the sins of our past, as believers, we're all in this together, and the Holy Spirit was given to guide us to the same conclusion. Pentecost is an encounter with the Holy Spirit that every child of Christ is offered, but few take. Every day is Pentecost, because every day the Holy Spirit works in the willing. It's the time God has set up for the harvest. And I'm not talking about wheat or blueberries. I'm talking about souls. These are the days that started at the day of Pentecost when Joel prophesied, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." So when people call me lost in my dreams, I say thank you. We're still in those days. They may have started so long ago, but we're still in those days. They haven't ended as many suppose that they have, but they're continuing until that day when Christ comes back, when He makes His glorious return. It's not a special blessing for a special few in a special age. It's for all of us who have truly repented and believe in Jesus. It is for all who have been forgiven through faith in Christ alone. It is a special gift. It is a promise from a living Father for us, for our children, for all of us who have been called to be a family of Christ through our baptism. But the question is whether you have the right as a Christian to summer. Let me start this over. The question is not whether you have the right as a Christian to summon the Holy Spirit, but rather, have you claimed that right? Do you have the willingness to let this most precious gift help you, work within you? Many of us have allowed the devil to rob ourselves of the gift through temptations of worldly glory. They've traded in the power that God has promised them and His promises, the devil's promises, we listen to eagerly, but they always fall short. They always fall flat. The devil robs you by telling you lies that what you're doing is good enough. He deceives you into thinking you don't have time for Bible study. He robs you of your willingness to come to worship. He convinces you that you have no need to do devotions. He betrays you by convincing you that you can go it alone without the Holy Spirit to guide you, without your fellow brothers and sisters at your side. And many fall victim to his lies because they don't have any defense. Their worship is shallow and their Bibles remain closed. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd was amazed. They were even thinking that those filled with the Holy Spirit were drunk. They'd never seen a scene like this before, and they wanted to know what was causing it. And Peter answered, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." What they were witnessing was a new kind of power they'd never seen before. The power of the Holy Spirit. An encounter with the Holy Spirit is not some kind of elusive, mythical experience that just happens randomly. It's something given in the asking. In Luke 11, beginning with verse 11, Jesus says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The gift of the Holy Spirit is for all believers who are willing, to take the next step in faith. In short, it is given to those who ask and are willing to trust in God's word. Willingness is the key. And this is something that we ask for on a daily basis because, let's face it, we're all like sheep who've gone astray every hour of every day. We all fall short of the glory of God, so we, therefore, need to be in God's word every day so that the Spirit can lead us through word and truth. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can obtain that truth. This is good news. Do you hear the good news in this, or are you just feeling bad because you haven't measured up? You're not alone. We all have work to do. But the good news is that the Spirit will never give up on you. He will always be there for you. He will guide you into the truth. It's a promise. That's the gospel message. That Jesus died to give you. That his work in your life didn't end with his death. It continues on through his Spirit. The story is told of a certain guide who lived in the Arabian desert who never lost his way. He carried with him a homing pigeon. Tied tightly to his leg was a very fine cord. And when in doubt of which path he would take, he'd just throw the bird up in the air, and the pigeon would start straining at the cord, flying towards the direction of home, and thus always led the guide accurately to his goal. And because of this unique practice, he was known as the Dove Man. He didn't get lost because he was sure never to leave without something to guide him home. The Holy Spirit, the heavenly dove, is willing and able to direct you home too. He wants to direct you towards the narrow path to heaven so that you can have everlasting life with him. But he asks you to trust him to get you there. He asks you to shed the concerns the devil tries to cloud your mind with. He asks you to yield, to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Are you ready to be transformed? It's easy to say no, and it's much harder to say yes and mean it. If you make that jump, however, all the riches of heaven await you, even if it means a little more persecution on earth as you wait. We Lutherans are pretty good at delegating the Holy Spirit as the least important of the Trinity, and that has to end because the Spirit of God is God himself. Aren't you a little curious as to where he might take you? Aren't you a little excited? Don't you wonder sometimes what we could accomplish if we could only let the world go a little bit more? shed the world for the Spirit. God has incredible things planned for each and every one of us. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit take the lead. He wants to amaze you. He wants to challenge you to much greater things than you ever thought you could accomplish. He wants to make Prince of Peace a beacon of light in a damaged world. And we are to trust in him and his word to see it all happen. If we're not willing, then he'll just find others who are. So slow down a bit and let God lead you by trading your limited power for the infinite power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled overflowing with the very Spirit of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you and shape you into the image of Christ. Allow him to guide you from glory to glory.